At last, a movie that finally realizes my very specific dream of being driven around Washington, D.C. by Gary Busey. Jamie,
yeah,
let's go watch D.C. Cab.
Another episode of Good Times, Great Movies. It is here where we discuss every so often a movie from the 1980s.
Not a scheduled podcast.
Just happens every now and then. But it is consistently myself, Jamie Lorello, and a DP McCambridge. Mm-hmm. And it's in every other week that it happens.
Sure.
Odd or even week, I'm not to say. But each.
Wait, are there odd and even weeks in the year? I mean, I guess if the first week of January would be week one.
Yeah, that's your odd. Right. And then 2 weeks later is your odd again.
Right. No. So in odd or even, we have either always been doing this on an odd or even week, depending on how your calendar works.
True. There you go. Depending in.
Great. You know what? Another flawless opening by us.
Right? Yeah. Always.
But at least you said our names. I have occasionally not even said our names in the intro.
Because we know. I know who you are. You know who I am. Mm-hmm. We know what we're doing here. The introduction's really for everyone else. And some of you already, you're on this wagon. You're subscribed. You're a listener. And you already know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm.
And right? I assume if you've never listened before, you've stopped listening by this point.
You're probably like, what are these crackheads even? When are we going to talk about DC Cab? Uh-huh. Yeah, and if you're tuning in simply because it's the DC Cab episode, you're amazing for having seen it. Had you seen this movie?
No.
Even known it existed? Because I didn't even know it was
existence. As I told you at the end of last episode, I had seen the poster. I had seen the VHS box because I saw a big image of Mr. T with a cab door in his hand. And I guess other well-known actors in the background, small.
There's a bunch of them. There's a whole...
Here's what I assumed this movie was. I assume this movie was madcap, zany nonsense, top to bottom, because it's a Mr. T movie. And it ended up kind of not being that. I mean, at times it was, yes. It was... I don't want to say it's a serious movie, because it's not, but this was just not the movie I expected based on the poster and based on the VHS box that I saw. I pictured something that was very low budget, full of nobodies and Mr. T.
Did you think there was more Mr. T? Because I was a little disappointed at the lack of Mr. T.
Yes.
I mean, we had him, but there were so many other characters. This was really like an ensemble piece. And so
I thought it was really interesting. We have a follower on Twitter, and they said that they have a Mr. T board game, which I did not know was even made. And they even took pictures of it. Yeah, and my response was, oh, this is based on the cartoon. This person did not know there was a Mr. T cartoon. Remember the one with he and gymnasts?
Yeah.
And then
Saturday morning. Yeah. And then the lineup. Like,
and I was like, well, where? Because I only really knew Mr. T from the A-Team. And I was like, how did he get mixed up with gymnasts? But he's in leotards through this movie. Like, his ensembles are insane, and I don't know who's dressing him.
Himself, of course.
It's gotta be himself.
Those feathers in those ears, that flamboyant way that is only Mr. T. The colors he wears, the kindness he emotes. He's a gem of a guy, of a character. And that made me a little sad that he wasn't featured as much. I thought I didn't have many expectations about this movie because, I mean, what do you expect? Gary Busey, Mr. T. I was like, this is just going to be craziness. And it was. But I expected a little more Mr. T. But
Way more Mr. T. Yeah. I thought this was a Mr. T feature. Like, I thought this was...
It would appear that way from the poster, as you Yeah.
And that's the other thing that I don't understand. Who did the marketing campaign for this? Because based on the poster, I don't know who would.
Well, was it when Mr. T? It was 83, right? What is that when this movie came out?
Yeah.
83?
Mm-hmm.
So is that right at Mr. T's peak? Because it's not like
he's... It has to be, yeah.
Yeah, and I think that maybe the cereal was out then too, which...
which Pee-wee was consuming.
I think we even had an action figure. Oh, yeah, he did. Right? They had a couple of...
Yeah, oh, my neighbors had the... Or my neighbor had the A-Team set.
With
the van and everything.
The van, yeah.
And then it was interesting to play because nobody wanted to be face... Remember the attractive guy who kind of did nothing but seduce women? And to like an 8-year-old kid, like, that's not cool. And nobody wanted to be. Who was the leader? Who was George Peppard in that? I can't think of his name.
Oh, I can't think of his name either.
Yeah. Everybody wanted to be. We both wanted to be Mr. T and Murdoch, the crazy guy who would fly planes and helicopters.
Yeah.
So, you know, there was always fighting about who was who. Anyway, that was just a little look into my childhood. But back to DC Cab, because this movie, directed by Joel Schumacher.
Yes.
Who is a regular on this podcast. I think percentage-wise, we've covered more Joel Schumacher movies than any other director.
You're probably right. Mm-hmm.
St. Elmo's Fire, Lost Boys, and now DC Cab.
Uh-huh.
But to say first, this is a suggestion by patron Christian. And if you donate at the $15 level, you can make us watch whatever movie you want.
Anything you want.
Except DC Cab. We just watched it.
This other one's off the list, right?
Right. So thank you so much. I really thought I would have never seen this movie. I would have thought I would go my entire life without having seen this movie. But that is not the case anymore.
No, not the case anymore. This movie's been brought to light. Thank you, Christian.
Yeah, thank you. We really do appreciate it. And I don't know, start thinking about what you want us to do next year, I guess.
Well, I want to know are you a kid when you watch this? Because I definitely would not have understood anything that was happening in this movie if I watched it in 1983 or even 85 even 91.
Well, this is... Just keep going.
I barely understand. No, it was a crazy movie. It was all right. Let's get into this. What is this game that cab drivers play with masks? Is this a game?
I don't know.
That we were first? Like, is this the whole DC cab? Like, is this because, okay, so the DC cabbers are a bunch of misfits, essentially, right? The cab drivers.
Of course they're a bunch of misfits, yes.
There was a time when, obviously, the show Taxi, like, the cab drivers, it was like a thing. Like, are we going to have, like, reality shows about, like, Lyft and Uber drivers someday? I don't know, maybe, but, like.
I'm surprised that's not a thing.
Like, I know.
I'm shocked that that's
not a thing. I'm sure it is. I'm sure there's something, and we're just not, it's probably a new Netflix show coming out. Like, I'm an Uber. Or, I don't know.
Jamie, you just created a Netflix show and named it. Because I'm an Uber actually does sound like a show that would exist.
A DC Uber. Well, let's not get ahead of ourselves. Let's not plan shows that may or may not be in pre-production. Right? Let's get to the show at hand.
Are you jotting notes right now? Because you should be.
I might be, feverishly. Okay.
So it's a weird cold open to this movie because I don't understand what's happening because there's a guy who is wearing curlers in his hair. This is his thing.
Yeah. Not even his real hair, we find out later. It's like a piece.
Which is apparently supposed to be shocking. I'm like, why? Why
are you
doing
this? I didn't understand that either. Like,
Is it a root? Like, are you pretending to be stupid because you have curlers in your hair? Like, I don't get it.
What's your damage, Tyrone? What's going on here?
Tyrone's got a lot going on. He's got a lot of problems. He's got, I mean, just like everybody else in this taxi cab company, apparently they're all like $700 away from not having to drive taxis anymore in their life. The way that 10 grand breaks down at the end, I'm like, I don't think they're even getting $1,000 each.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why they're all suddenly flying the coop and they can't wait
to
start the
rich
new big life.
I know.
And I'm like, I am sure $820 is a lot in 1983 money, but it's not that much.
Well, for these DC cabbers, and now they're in DC, so pretty. But they have, so they're a motley crew of dudes that I guess spend their evenings instead of driving cabs around scaring each other with masks on, and they scare the guy in the curlers and make him run up into a fence. Is that like a initiation thing that you have to do?
I think it is, because when he's talking to, who's the main guy? What's his name?
Albert. I wrote the new guy a lot in my notes, but his name is Albert.
So when he's talking to Albert about how to be a DC cab guy, he's like, here's what you got to do. You got to get a mask, and then you got to drive on these train tracks, and you got to get your license. And so I assume this is initiation, but I don't. Is this them initiating Tyrone? Is that what we're supposed to think?
Or is it just like the game that they play at night when they're done driving their cabs around? Which, by the way, their cabs are shitty cabs. They're very old school looking. They're like classy looking, like yellow cabs. But
like
they're like
comically
beat down.
Shitty.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
Huge portions of the vehicle are missing.
Gary Busey's is on fire when he pulls it into the cab station.
Right. I want to live in a world where I have a good chance of being picked up by Mr. T, Gary Busey, or Sly Stallone.
Or even Tyrone. That's right.
Yeah, I think I already kind of forgot that this is our second taxi movie that we've seen in this past year.
That's what I'm saying. Taxis were a thing, and taxi drivers were like, that was a... Mm-hmm. I mean, it's kind of no wonder that this guy would come with this, because I thought it was funny like this. So this kid has this dream, Albert has this dream of becoming a taxi cab driver. So we meet this motley crew of taxi cab drivers that all work for DC Cab, and we'll go over them as we, you know, because there's a shit ton of them.
There's a montage where he meets the whole team.
And
where
he gets
just,
to ride.
Yeah,
with some
he's like
of, yeah.
swapping riding with all of these let's just say guys, because other than Roz from Night Court, they're all guys.
Oh, yeah, Roz. Yes, yes, they are. But he's new. Albert's new in town. He came up from Alabama or Georgia to
I don't
DC?
Know, because this Southern accent comes and
it's
goes.
Come waves. It comes in waves. I agree.
When he asks the waitress to take out her granddaughter, I was like, whoa, where did this Southern... I have not heard a Southern accent from this
he
dude
says something
in this entire movie.
When he's talking at one point to Tyrone when they're on one of their drives together, all of a sudden, for like three lines, he's like deep South, and then it's gone again. And you're like, what's
I'm
happening?
I'm just a Southern boy, and I don't know. And I'm like, where... Wait.
But he does. He supposedly comes from the South, and he came up to D.C., In search of his cabbing dream.
Well, he knows the owner of DC Cab. The owner of DC Cab and his father apparently served in Vietnam together.
Yes.
And his father died.
I like when there's the montage when they're looking through the old war photos.
And they're just wearing gas masks and drinking beer.
Harold is was Albert's father's buddy in Nam, and Harold now owns a cab company, the DC Cab Company, in DC. And Albert has come to chase his dream and to learn from the best.
Again,
allegedly.
To chase his dream of being a cab driver.
That's right.
I guess in Washington, D.C. Very specific. Like, this is the most specific dream.
Great. Very specific. But like we said, so taxi cab, like, they were kind of romanticized in a way, I guess, in the 80s.
Of course. So he shows up. I do have to say, I did look at the runtime at several times in this movie. One was when all the problems were resolved and I went, we're only an hour into this. Something else has to happen.
All of a sudden I was like, there's got to be more montages. Right. What's going to happen?
But at the end, when credits stop rolling,
we're
into this movie. Like, the last credit comes up and I was like, this is almost 10 minutes of credits.
Yeah, the credits go
song,
on for a long time.
Whatever that one song that they got made for this movie, I assume, and they were like, we're going to use it. We're going to use
it
for
throughout.
The credits. We're going to use it for every montage. We're going to use it at the end. This, it's crazy, too, because they have, what's her name? I can't even think of her name. The singer.
Irene.
Whatever.
Irene.
Yeah, Irene Cara. So
yeah.
They have her in this movie, and they don't even, this is the only song they use in this movie. It's crazy.
I know.
So he goes to DC Cab for a job.
Yes.
We start to get introduced to these drivers before they have their Vietnam reminiscent drinking fest. We do see some of the drivers. We see Paul Rodriguez. Boy, I don't know the last time I heard that guy's name. Like, it was a wonderful, like, I remember him on, like, Comic Relief. He was always on Comic Relief.
Yeah.
So he is...
He's like a gigolo.
He calls himself a gigolo, but I don't think he knows what a gigolo is. But he dresses very fancy.
Yes.
He would consider himself a ladies' man.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, Roz from Night Court is there, and she's constantly getting held up. She's constantly
that she does. I don't understand, and it's always at the same corner. I'm like, maybe don't drive that
it's
area.
It's like she drives down an alley, too, because it's not even at a real street.
No, it's not like she's looking for... somebody pick up. It's a weird thing. It happens to multiple cabbies, mostly her, though, where this guy holds her up and then takes all her cabbie money for the day. And he must hold her up at the end of the day. I don't mean to laugh because it's pretty shitty. But we see her.
Yeah, so she's a good driver. We do see that Bill Maher is there.
Oh, Bill Maher's there, yeah.
Bill Maher's kind of just being Bill Maher.
He even does a little stint like in front of the White House and has a little like thingy goes off on the White House about it, and it's just very Bill Maher even then.
I understand that Mr. T is probably not a tiny man and that these barbarian brothers are probably pretty big dudes. But Bill Maher is so short, and I never knew he was this short. When he is standing with everyone else there, Roz from Night Court, Mr. T, Gary, everyone is towering over him. It's really funny to watch him in those group shots.
Yeah.
Oh, did you notice that the receptionist, who is the wife of Harold.
Harold?
Did you notice that... at her desk, she has a picture of Prince Charles and Princess Di.
I didn't, but that's awesome.
It's like a framed photo on her desk.
Because they were a wonderful thing, and people, like women of the 80s, like loved their relationship. Yes. And so I love that. That's awesome.
Did I ever tell you the story about the guy I worked with? I think I told it on the podcast. The guy I worked with who had a framed picture of Sade in his office.
Oh, and he didn't.
I thought it was his wife for the longest time. Like, it was like an 8x10 frame photo. And I was like, this guy's wife is gorgeous. And then one day, somebody just in passing was like, I think he cut that out of a magazine.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. If I ever have a desk again, I'm going to decorate it with just not pictures of my family and my people that I love. Just, like, people that I cut out of magazines. Like, I'll have Rod Stewart, and I guess I should have always done that all along.
You really should have, because people would be like, your husband looks so much... Did anybody ever tell you he looks like Rod Stewart? You've had to have heard this before. Anyway, all right.
Well, he's got my heart. He has it. Anyway, who else do we meet? Oh, Mr. Rhythm.
Yeah, Grady from Sanford and Son. He doesn't work there, right? He's just a homeless man.
No, I think
around.
He does. I don't know.
He can't work there. He doesn't even know how to drive a car at the end of the
No, he doesn't even know when they ask him when he's the one that finds this stupid violin there's so many little subplots.
I thought that was the movie. Like, I thought that was the movie. So when that was wrapped up, I went, how is there still 40 minutes left?
I know, because we found it, and he... Oh, man. Okay. But I thought that he is somehow working for the cab company. I know he doesn't seem to really drive a lot of cabs, but then even later, he's on the little walkie-talkie thing.
He was sleeping in it.
He does sleep in the cabs. All right, maybe he is the homeless guy that...
I think he's just hanging around. Like, I don't think he has a stake in his company.
Okay. Does he get any part of the $10,000? Does he get like $5.50 by the time it's split among everybody?
It's never mentioned. I love that scene because that entire scene where they talk about the money is just them all yelling at each other with these short periods of like 10 seconds with everybody quieting down and listening to the next thing and then continuing to yell at each other.
More shouting.
So Harold is happy that Albert's there. He invites him to stay at his house.
Which is a little uncomfortable because Harold and his wife don't necessarily have a very loving relationship.
And I know what happens later in the movie. I get it. But immediately I was a little bit upset because we as the audience are supposed to think that this lady is a terrible bitch. But then I was like, this guy has a flamethrower and he's just like lighting fires with, like, I understand how upset she is.
He does.
At all times with this dude.
Oh, I don't. I don't understand. She is a very, but we find out later why.
Oh, no. Yes. Yeah.
She's very grumpy lady and she has a really hard time. He's like bonding with his friend's son and she comes home. I don't think it's this scene. I think it's later where she's like, did you leave me a beer? I like to watch my beer and my Johnny Carson. Yes. He's like, no, sorry, I didn't leave you a beer. I'll go get one beer right now. She's like, I don't want the beer now. And she like stops up the stairs.
I do love her line where she's like, if Ed McMahon walked down the street with a beer, I would not drink a beer. Something, it was much better written than horrible delivery. But yeah, she's really fun in this movie. I thought she was great in this movie because this movie is just everybody shouting over one another. So I always feel in each scene, I just gravitate to whoever's yelling loudest. And most of the time when she's interacting with Harold, she's yelling and he's not.
Yeah, because Harold's kind of a, what would you say? How would you describe? He definitely doesn't seem like he would own and operate a cab place. I think that's why it's a, but he's a soft-hearted kind of guy.
Exactly. And that's why I don't want to say that I'm sympathetic toward her, but that's why I was like, well, this guy's running around with a flamethrower. The wall in that house is black from him shooting a flamethrower into the fireplace. And I'm like, he's running a failing cab business. I'm not saying she's in the right, but I kind of get it.
Yeah, you understand where she would feel a little vexed in her daily life. Okay.
I swore for a brief second. I was like, oh, Fran Drescher's in this movie. I was so excited just for a moment. And then she spoke and I went, oh, it's not
No,
her.
It's not Franny. It is not Franny. Oh, I have some of Busey's lines written down. This one's a little spicy.
Try not to say so many N-words when you say Gary Busey's line.
I didn't write.
Because, man, when that happened, I was like, oh, no, is this what this movie's going to be? Because I might have a problem with it. But thankfully, it was just that one speech of his.
No, yeah.
And then it all ended. But then right after he yelled all that, then it was just naked ladies. And I was like, what movie is this suddenly?
What about before he hangs out with the members of each team and they get the complaint from... So the cab company isn't doing well, right?
Right.
And who is it from the city that comes down? Somebody from the city comes down because Tyrone keeps going to the airport and this cab company doesn't have their airport license yet.
Right, yes.
And he picks up people at the airport, which he's not supposed to do, and then he overcharges them. So he picked up this Asian couple from the airport.
Oh my God, I forgot about this part. Yes. And who is this guy? You're right. Like, is he like the president of the cab association? Like, I don't understand what this guy's job is.
He's some sort of official, though, like city official of some kind that can fine them and get the cab company in trouble. So he comes to the DC cab headquarters, I guess, with this Asian couple and is like, you know, your cabbie overcharged them and he doesn't even supposed to be at the airport. And they're just a crazy bunch of cabbies. Tyrone then puts that car in reverse somehow, and that car drives in reverse.
Yeah, we really, like you said, we just see that they're just a bunch of misfits in this particular scene because they surround him. Like, it's like they're a pack of animals. They all surround him. They all have to just spew
even
insults.
Mr. T's always the least offensive. Like,
yes.
Busey always has this very offensive, very vulgar something that he says. Uh-huh. Tyrone always kind of does this Tyrone-y song and dance kind of jive thing when he talks. And Mr. T's like, come on, we're hardworking men. Why you gotta come up here in our business and claim we're caught, whatever.
And there's also just two bodybuilders who for no reason just run around through this movie.
Yeah, it's these great. Two barbarian brothers. It's crazy. All right. But that happens and... Then I think, is this then when we get the rides? Yes, because he takes his first ride with gigolo with the gigolo guy.
Right, yes. And Paul Rodriguez is like, listen, we're in D.C. You know, yeah. I get to drive around senators' wives and stuff like right. that. And they're lonely because their husbands are out of town and blah, blah, mm-hmm. blah. And he mm-hmm. mixes up the people's names in American Gigolo because he's trying to describe. He's trying to just say Richard Gere, but he doesn't know Richard Gere's name. It's very right. strange. Oh, and also as he's driving, people are being thrown around in the back of the cab.
Oh, yeah, because he drives like a lunatic. Like a yeah, he just drives like a lunatic, and the people even in the back are like, oh, they're getting just swashed around. Then we get a little Busey ride where we see just a bunch of boobs hanging out. The girl, the woman that Busey picks up in the car right away is like, I have to let my boobs breathe because I'm about to dance topless and I can't have any marks on my... That's the first thing she says when she gets yep. in the cab and uh-huh. then proceeds to just take her top off.
Yes. And, yeah. and then she just gets out without paying.
No, like, yeah. Oh, yeah,
you.
Yeah.
I'm not paying. Just like, they know, they see where you're going. Yeah. You're just yeah. walking in that door right there.
So then Busey sends Albert in to go get her, the money right. from her. Doesn't work out so well. So Busey ends up going to get the money and Busey pulls her pants off and then she runs into the city street naked screaming, like, he's got my money. Like,
full frontal or full back nudity. Like, it is a weird thing.
Yes, it's very early in the movie.
To be front loaded in this movie where when I announced we're watching this, all these people I grew up with were like, I love this as a kid. And I'm watching this going, where did you see this as a kid?
That's exactly what
right. I'm like, Busey's yelling the N-word. There's naked women running around. I'm like, this couldn't have been on TV. There's no way. I was so shocked. Like, I did not look into this movie before we saw it. Like I said, I knew Mr. T was in it. I assumed it was about taxi cabs.
Well, and it is.
I was shocked that Gary Busey's in this movie. And even more shocked that he's in it, I am more shocked with what he is doing than anything, like, than anything else that anybody's doing in this movie. Because I don't know how much, as I said earlier before we started recording, I don't know how mm-hmm. much of what he's saying was written down. Because the looks on the actors' faces are just, it's just excitement in their eyes because he's just going. Like, what is that whole Elvis thing? What, like, there's no way the director was like, up. Then dance yeah. around, start grabbing your ass. When you're dancing, just start, like, you're picking a wedgie. Just do it for, like, a good 30 seconds. There's no way anybody told him to do that.
He's moving like Elvis. He's got these one-liners. He says something about oral sex. He's got a terrible, what does he say? The view. Oh, the worst thing about oral sex is the view.
The view. And he laughs. He laughs so hard.
What is
so hard yeah. at this joke?
Yeah. He says something later on when Harold is trying to make a deal with them mm-hmm. for the money. Well, I guess we'll get there. We'll get to his lines.
What does he say when everything has gone bad and he's like, now y'all know what I feel like when I wake up every morning.
Oh, when he's shaking the bottle like a lunatic crazy. Next to
yeah,
him.
He's like, yeah. We're going to play a game. We're going to play a game. We're going to take this bottle and you're going to shake it. You're going to shake it next to your ear and just wonder if it's going to explode. And finally, somebody just yells at him to shut up. And I was like, I don't think any of this
was... It's the calmest of all of them. Mr. T's like, shut up, Dale. I think Dale's his name.
And I was like, I doubt any of that was in the script. Like, there's no way.
Maybe they just said, he says, this is what he says, and I don't know what a sex surrogate is. But
I looked it up. I had to look it up.
So, not to give too much away, we're obviously going a bit out of order in this retelling.
Oh, it doesn't matter in this movie.
But, at some point, we're going to get the Harold is going to get a certain amount of money for this violin that was found in one of the, and he's decided he's going to split the money with the other cabbies, but he wants the cabbies to invest the money back into the cab place, right? And Busey's response is, if I wanted responsibility, I'd be a sex surrogate. sex surrogate?
I would have never quit my dream of being a sex surrogate.
What is it?
I had to look it up. A sex surrogate is almost like a therapist for people with sexual issues. So they like teach them how to have sex and teach them how to like have intimacy with people.
Oh my God. What does he say? Oh, and he's got this terrible, he does have some very, he's got some colorful language for about African-American sure. people. And then he says about women, I think I wrote this one down somewhere, but I think I can remember it off the top of my head. He says, women, they got half the money, but all the pussy.
Yeah. Is that when he's just randomly groping some girl at the drive-in? Yeah. Just mm-hmm. standing there groping her and also stealing her popcorn. Uh-huh. And they go to a drive-in for, they did not know they were going to a drive-in. He gets out of the car and he has 3D glasses on.
It's crazy.
It is so his crazy. Performance in this movie. It is worth watching this movie wild. Alone. I mean, we'll it's get wild. Into it at the end if we recommend it or not. But even if it's not a great movie, it is worth watching it just to be like,
this just for is his what, lines.
This is what he was doing this time in his yeah. life.
Yeah.
And there's a part later on where I guess it's after they rescue everybody and they're all uh-huh. jumping around celebrating. He's kind of overweight in this movie. Like, I looked at Gary Busey and
he's
I was
not
like,
as
oh,
healthy as Busey
yeah.
shape. Yeah.
Mr. T's jumping on a car, like hitting it with baseball bats.
Oh, yeah, because there is a while where they just jump. Yeah.
yeah. Everybody else is jumping and high-fiving. And Busey's just kind of like teetering, like he's barely moving,
he's
not smiling. He's so weird.
Who knows I don't know if these lines were written for him. I don't know if this performance was like a screwball performance. Whatever it is, he sticks through it. This character is a wild man, this Dale.
I guarantee you, I want to read an interview with him, because I guarantee you if you interviewed him and talked to him about this movie now, 100% he does not remember making it.
He doesn't remember.
I
don't know.
I am willing to bet.
Maybe this is one of his, what he thought, more defining performances. Maybe this performance, this character, made him embody the Busey that we've come to know today.
Okay.
Because we know him as we know him, but he had to become that.
Right, right.
Maybe this was a titular part of that
yes.
journey.
And it's a big thing, because he had a severe motorcycle accident, and then people yeah. say like after that he was never the same. So of course, after I watched this, I went, when did he have
was
that
this
motorcycle
before
accident?
After that
this
accident,
is well
yeah.
before that. And I went, that accident's bullshit. Like, that is just
oh.
an excuse for the way he acts now. I'm not saying he didn't have an accident. I'm sure he
no,
did.
No, but like, that's
but
why
he
they
was,
blame his
this
behavior
is who he
on
is.
Him.
Like,
yeah.
Something didn't happen to him in like 1989. This is just
maybe it
Busey.
Did. Maybe that accident made, again, maybe this was just a character for Busey.
Mm-hmm.
And then after the accident, he became,
oh, he became
Dale.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay, I kind of love that. Because,
just
but he also didn't, because this
just
is almost the same character.
Yeah, as the from the Wolf movie, the uncle.
Silver Bullet.
Yeah.
This is a world where the guy from Silver Bullet, he was visiting because he took a break from his job at DC Cab to visit his
yeah,
sister
same. I
and
agree.
Corey
I
Haim agree. In a wheelchair.
Yeah, and now he's like befriending this kid. He tones down the language a little bit because he's around this little wheelchair-bound
right.
kid. So now that we've definitely decided we should, maybe we're having a side podcast called The Best of Busey.
Oh my
I don't
God.
Know.
I would do that. I'd go through his entire filmography. That would be great.
All right.
So let's talk about the Barbarian Brothers, because that's who he rides with next.
So they're crazy. They only drive backwards. Is this correct?
Well, that's what I thought. That's what I thought was going on. But they do have to stop the cab at an intersection, and some guy yells at them. They're like, it only goes backwards.
Oh, yeah.
I'm driving to the shop. I got to get this fixed.
That's right.
So I don't think that's their
yeah.
thing. But I like
okay.
how they make him wear a red bandana when he rides
yeah,
with
like,
them, too.
Yeah, like them. Yeah. And I like how they are like twin brothers or whatever, and I guess they just cab together. Like, they don't have a separate cab each. They just...
That's the thing.
Right?
Yeah, that's the thing that I kept looking at and going... Are they then splitting this money? Like, are they both
Oh, you were really concerned with this money split.
Yeah, the money distribution was a problem for me.
You were like, how's this really going to work out? Harold didn't think it through.
They don't drive separate cabs. I don't think they do. I think they're just always in the cab together. Yeah.
Yeah. And from what it sounds like, it's hard to afford a cab in the city. So
it must be.
They're just splitting the cost.
That's all they can afford.
Splitting the cost. Finally, he gets his ride with Mr. T next. Finally. Right? That's after the brothers.
Oh, yeah. And then we get stuff that is never resolved, too.
With the drug dealer?
Yes.
Well, it kind of it is at the very end.
Wait, what? Is it? How's it resolved?
Yes, because Mr. T... So Mr. T's thing that he likes to do is mm-hmm. he's always wanted to be... He didn't ever picture himself being... I think he even does this little monologue where he says he didn't picture himself to be a cabbie, but that's what he is now. And he wants to be like a good citizen in his community, right?
And that's kind of everybody's thing. Everyone that he rides with is like, this is just a temporary gig until I become a gigolo or until can do this or do that. And I don't know what Busey's dream is, but I don't know, to design a crazy wheelchair for his nephew. But anyway, yes, Mr. T just wants to help people.
Better the community.
Help the community that he grew up in. Yeah. Yes.
And he comes across, now this I didn't understand at first, so the drug dealer in town just has a fancy car and hangs out on the corner and everybody wants to see him because he's dealing drugs, because he's got a fancy car.
Yep, he's got a fancy car and he parks on the sidewalk and kids love it. Kids just love a fancy car.
Yes, they do. Even later on when Mr. T's got a niece and he's like, come on, come with me. So he's trying to protect his niece from the drug dealer and really the whole neighborhood, right?
I love how he gets out and he's like, get out of here. Get out of here, everybody. Yeah. Don't stay. And nobody moves. Nobody moves. No, nobody leaves. No. The kids don't go anywhere. He just grabs his
knees. He's shooing them away like flies, though. He's like, come on, go, get.
And this is his first. He is wearing yellow and orange tank top, like split down the middle. One side's yellow, one side's orange. He's wearing bright green sweatpants. He's wearing pink wristbands.
Not afraid to mismatch colors. Not afraid.
And big, giant purple socks. And high tops. Like, it is such a strange look.
Feathers dangling from his ears.
Of course.
Just a one-of-a-kind look.
And he also says to his niece, as they drive away, he says, don't become a turtle like me.
Yeah, he feels he's a turtle.
I don't know. What does that mean? What does that mean?
That I think he maybe took life too slow. I don't know. Which I don't.
Are you
I don't know.
Filling in the blanks, or is this what he said? Okay.
No.
All right. Okay.
I'm filling in some blanks because I don't know what he means by all that. Right. But he is because he doesn't seem very. He's very unturtly to me. But
now we're back at DC Cab. Roz has been getting robbed. She was robbed again, and she's had enough.
She's gonna leave. But then he uncomfortably pressures her to have a beer. Is that when he's like, come on. And kind of like, it goes on a little too long where he's like,
it goes on forever. And I was like, what is the point of this scene? But soon we realize what the point of this scene is because Albert then looks in the bathroom and Gary Busey is lying on the floor between the stalls saying that he is doing intestinal yoga on the bathroom floor. And then he just cackles like a lunatic.
Yeah. I don't know what intestinal yoga is.
I don't know. Nobody did. Again, he probably wasn't even supposed to be in this scene. He probably just woke up lying
if
on
this
the set
is
of
true,
a phone.
If this is true, it changes the whole DC cabin.
Yes.
And it probably is true. Is this when they see the male strippers?
Yes.
Why do they go to the male strippers?
They go there to... I guess be there for all the hot and heavy ladies that come out of the strip club then.
Oh,
like they show up
to
a strip club like at the end of The Last Dance.
That's right.
Yes. And then all the ladies pour out and then they start dancing on their cabs. And then all the ladies get in the cabs and they all just drive away.
Strange. Except...
Right. Albert doesn't have a cab.
Albert doesn't have a cab.
And now all the cabs are full of women, so nobody can take him.
But this is when he sees for the first time the waitress, right? Doesn't she come out of
the... Was that the waitress? Or was that just some lady?
I thought it was. I thought it was the waitress.
I thought it was all the same girl. I just thought it was some woman. And then he was like, oh, this might be my lucky day. But then some dude comes out.
Yeah, and walks her out. Yeah.
I don't know. It doesn't matter.
Maybe it was just some woman.
It doesn't make any sense. Who cares? Like, it's weird. It doesn't matter. But then he goes back to DC Cab, where Bill Maher's playing a synthesizer.
Oh, yeah. He's playing a little keyboard action, a little synthesizer. Yeah. And talks poetic about
That's fears literally that you what have I wrote. Life, right? I just wrote Bill Maher waxes poetic because I did not give a shit what he was saying.
No,
at this
he
point.
Goes on something about fear and how you can't hide. I don't know. I think maybe he's a turtle too.
Yeah,
like
he
Mr.
might be
T.
a turtle.
I don't
too.
Know.
He might be a turtle too. And I don't know if you know Adam Baldwin, the star of this movie. I don't know if you know.
Is he a Baldwin?
He is not a Baldwin. He's just Baldwin.
Gotcha.
I don't know if you know his quite problematic political views. Very, very conservative. So I just found it funny that he and Bill Maher were in a scene together.
Oh, I didn't.
He's kind of a creep.
Oh.
Yeah. Anyway.
Well, anyway.
Oh, and also, okay, so they also hang out at this diner.
Oh, yes.
Where all the other cab company and the cab companies dress like they're in Greece, like they're in gangs, like they wear these satin gang jackets.
They do? Like, oh, I thought you meant Greece first, the country. I was like right. Greek. But you're right. Like they're in the movie, like Greece is the word. Yeah, they have, and the green cab is green cab. So it's yellow cab and green cab. Like I guess you only name your cab companies by color.
Yeah, I guess.
Know.
And then there's red cabs. You see a group wearing red jackets.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the villains are the green cab, or their rivals are the green cab.
And they have much better cabs, and they have the fancy jackets. And like you said, they all hang out at this diner. This is when Busey does the weird thing on what's his name's wife's head, where he's like, the woman, she's got a headache. She needs to be healed. And he shakes her, again, like a lunatic, shakes her head and is like...
He's got a weird thing going with the guy's wife, too, because when they're all about to, like, break into the house and smash the windows and stuff, he's knocking on the door, and he's like, I know a motel. Why don't you just come out? You and I can hightail it out of here.
Because he's shady.
He's shady Busey. I really thought that at the end of this, he was going to be having an affair with his wife, but he isn't because he's a lovable weirdo. So you can't have him be the villain of this movie.
No, he's just a little lunatic.
So this is where Albert sees this waitress.
Oh, right.
Who looks very young, by the way. She looks a little young for him.
She does look young. But steam and like her hair starts blowing. Yep. Like they have this really funny thing that they have make happen.
And
when he sees her and
kind of teased this earlier before we started the show.
Oh, yeah. Her. Who is this?
I looked at her and I went, oh, you know what? She looks a lot like Winnie Cooper. And then I remembered we watched a movie a long time ago and I thought the lead actress of that movie looked like Winnie Cooper. She plays opposites Keanu Reeves. In Babes in Toyland, she is the
she's the
Miss
white,
Muffet
the,
or whatever.
Yeah,
yes, yeah, that's her.
Oh,
yeah,
Now I see it.
Yep.
Oh, good one. Yeah. I didn't know that. So good to point that out.
And she's
nice.
Done a lot. Like she is still acting. She's just been, you know, she does a lot of TV and stuff like that. But she's been around for a very long time doing stuff. So
good on her.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well, this is when thanks for that nugget. This is when the president of the taxi cab association of Washington, D.C.,
let's call him.
For some reason, he's got to come with a giant poster. He didn't need this poster to say, have you seen this guy? Have you seen this giant, this violin? Basically, a violin was left in one of the cabs.
$1 million violin was left in a cab. Expensive. And I do love it how he has a rolled up poster of this violinist that he has to show. And of course, when he says this, then all the cab drivers disperse to check the trash and to check the back of their cabs.
Oh yeah, because there's a reward, obviously, if you turn it in. Yeah.
Naive me, who thought he knew how movies worked. I thought this was the plot of this movie.
Nay, not a DC cab.
And it gets dropped in about 20 minutes for a kidnapping plot.
Well, because we so. Oh.
Do we want to, are you about to talk about a nun getting hit with eggs? Because I'll talk about that all day long. Those kids.
What is that? What is so?
I don't know.
All right. So Tyrone, we do another ride with Tyrone, yes. Right? We do. Oh, wait. We do one with Mr. T real quick where he sees her with the drug dealer. She's actually in the car of the drug dealer. And he pulls her out and she's like, I just wanted to see his nice car.
Yes. And like, he's like, did he touch you? She's like, no, I loved his car. End of that. End of any of this with a drug dealer with a fancy car and his niece. They are gone.
No one in town has ever seen a fancy car before. Anyway, and then Tyrone, we go on another ride with Tyrone where he first brings in like a whole bunch of people, like sandwiches. A whole family.
He's got a whole family. Yeah, because Albert's like, can I ride with you? And he's like, I don't know if you want to do this. Cut to Albert's in the front seat of the car. People are sitting on his lap. Everybody's there. It's pretty funny. But then there's almost like no scene in between. And suddenly he's driving a cab with a couple of maids in the back.
Yeah. Well, and I don't know. Are these like family members of his that he's taking to their jobs? Whatever.
I don't know, because it's a regular thing. Because they take this cab every day to this house that they
work for. It's a very wealthy house.
It's weird. I don't get it.
But these two bratty kids that look like they're Harry Potter, like out of Harry Potter, are sitting outside. Holy shit,
that girl looks shit like her. She's got the frizzy hair.
Yeah, yes. And these two bratty kids who love their little nannies and housekeeps, whatever, throw eggs at the... Is that what they do? They throw eggs at the...
I think it's important that we set this up because there is a nun outside of this gated house. Too. There's a gate that's shut. The kids are behind the gate waiting with a bunch of eggs. There's a nun out front who I assumed was like teaching them or something. I didn't know. Mm. The cab pulls up. The gates open. These kids start pelting this nun with eggs.
Yeah.
And then throwing them at the cab. This is apparently super normal for Tyrone.
This is what they do. Yeah,
the maids get out, corral the kids. Tyrone and Albert drive away. And it is a scene where I thought, that was mildly amusing. I assume we'll never see that again. And I was, again, very wrong.
Very wrong. Very wrong, because it's a key part of the second half of this movie.
Uh-huh. Oh, my God. All right.
Tyrone's ride doesn't get... So after this freaky egg drop-off, he also then goes to the airport again to try to get people. And he does. He picks up a drunk guy. That was weird, too. He picks up this old guy who kind of falls down drunk in the back of his car. Take me to this airport. Yeah. And Tyrone drives 5 feet and is like, all right, we're there.
Jamie, it's like you're reading my notes. I have 5 feet written in my notes. Yeah, he wants him to drive him across town to the other airport. He doesn't. Yes. He just pulls up slightly, charges him $50. And Albert, of course, wants nothing to do with this.
Albert's conscious can't take that.
And he has to return the money. He was having such a great time until he meets Tyrone.
Yeah, exactly. He was enjoying D2C. And now, and then Tyrone is the one that loves Irene Cara, the singer, right?
Yeah, Cara? Yeah. Something, Cara? Whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. What a feeling.
Right, yes. Yeah, there's so many connections to past episodes, everybody.
I know. There really are.
It's like
the Kevin Bacon thing, but not. Uh-huh. Yeah. Because it's not Kevin Bacon. Yep. Anyway, Tyrone decides then to do the initiation thing with him, right? Like
after he freaks out and says, this rollers thing is just a wig. And then I guess he puts the wig back on. Oh, yeah,
he pulls this weird hair. That's right. I don't understand that either. So Tyrone always wears rollers in his hair and then takes it off at one point. It's a wig. But then Tyrone's just bald. It's not anything.
His hair is just very short. Yeah. Then later he shows up at DC Cab and gets out without his roller wig. And not a single person goes, whoa, what's going on with your hair? Mm-hmm. So I guess everybody knows this. Why are you wearing it then? What are you doing?
I don't know.
Anyway, I'm very angry about that.
Yeah, I see. So, I can tell. You're burned up about it.
So he tells him this initiation thing where they have to wear masks and you have to get your license. And you also had to drive a car on train tracks.
Yeah.
And you just see how far you can go. But it seems insanely challenging because you have to get the wheels up on the rails and drive on the rails.
And steady it, yeah. And then a train comes. Mm-hmm. When they're driving on the rails, a train comes. And the two of them both freak out because first the car is stuck on the train. He can't get the car off the tracks, rather. Then what's his name is stuck actually in Albert's.
Yeah, Albert gets his like sleeve stuck on the door handle or
something. And he can't get out. And then it's kind of funny because Tyrone just kind of screams at Albert. You don't know what's going to happen. But nay, the train turns right on the other track and they're okay. Tyrone makes a joke and is like, yeah, that was part of the test.
Yeah, like I knew it was on the other tracks the whole time. And they're both so sweaty. They're so sweaty.
And so heavy breathing.
They find out that Grady from Sanford and Son, Mr. Rhythms, has the violin. He's been playing it
like a ukulele.
Mm-hmm. Standing around a garbage can. Looking at it. Playing a violin.
And when they like, which cab did you find then? And he's like, the yellow one is his response.
Oh, Mr. Rhythm. And he also gives advice that I didn't write down because I never thought it was all that interesting. But he always gives
like some kind of sage old man advice. Mm-hmm. But it's filthy old man advice. Like, I think his first advice to some of it is sagey, mm-hmm. but some of it's just filthy.
Oh, I didn't know it was filthy. I just thought some of it was useless because there was one point where, like, Albert gives him something for his advice, and he's like, here's a dollar, and it's a dollar more than that deserved, or something like that.
It's part of his thing, though. Mr. Rhythm's always just talking in rhythms, right? That's what he does. That's how he do.
So, in the meantime, Albert is driving a cab now. I don't know. Did he get his license by this point? Why is he driving a cab? He's driving Tyrone's cab. They slept under a bridge in the cab that night.
Oh, right.
And he's driving his cab. He pulls up to the spot where Roz is always robbed.
Yeah, and now he's going to get brave.
Yes. He goes to get robbed, but he just starts driving with this guy in the cab. Yeah. And he races to DC cab. Everybody's fighting about this violin, but they stop fighting because they're all going to beat up this guy, but they don't. They all drag, like, the cops drag Tyrone out of the back. And the cops are, like, going to shoot him. And everybody else is trying to stop the cops.
Tyrone ends up, so the guy comes in with a gun.
Yeah, Tyrone ends up with the gun. Right.
Tyrone ends up with a gun. And then somehow Tyrone's in trouble because he has the gun. And the guy, did you recognize who the bad guy was?
No.
He's the guy from Grease 2.
What? What is happening right now? This entire podcast has all collided to form DC Cab, a movie we've never heard of.
That's why Christian recommended it. This is a great recommend.
Yeah, Christian, you really did a great job with this. I am amazed. Wow, I had no idea. Really, it's that guy, that British guy, or I guess he's not British. He was just British in Australian.
He's not he's not the good guy. He's the bad guy. The one that makes the face, the pockmark guy.
Oh, the pockmark guy from Grease and Grease 2. Okay.
Yeah. Sorry, I should have said, but Grease 2 is the one we covered.
We also just glossed over the fact, and this is another character in this that I really like, is the sassy waitress who is the grandmother of the waitress that Albert wants to date. And she does not want him to date because she even says to him, one day someone who's not a cab driver is going to come in here with flowers and chocolates. And then he is going to be able to date this girl. Until then, buddy, you can't talk to her. Plus, she's probably like 15.
Yeah, you have to wait till she's at least 17. Back at the diner, speaking of, we're back at the diner when Harold, now we've got the violin. Yeah. Harold's turned it in. He's decided instead of him and his wife, which she is very upset about. What's her name?
Upset.
Mabel or something?
I don't know what her name is, actually. I didn't write it down. Something weird with an M.
All right. Melinda Merlin? I don't know. So she is super upset with him.
Let's call her Merlin. Sure, why not?
Harold announces that he is going to split the money from the violin with everyone. And split between, there's like 12 of them, I think. No, I don't know.
And I don't even think that's including his wife or him.
No.
I was really trying, on my hands, I was counting. And I was like, well, there's two of those barbarian brothers. There's Bill Maher, Mr.
But
T.
But do they count as one?
Right, exactly. And I'm like, oh, yeah, then there's a Jamaican guy, too.
Oh, yeah, the one that
we haven't talked
Rasta
about because
yeah.
His thing is that he's Jamaican.
And I think his name is like Jamaica Bob or something. It's like, I don't even
know. It isn't, it should be. Yeah. So again, everybody would be getting roughly $800, I'm going to say, this is all split.
But his whole plan is I want you to invest back in the company. That's, I'll give you this money, and he's convinced that they'll do the right thing. And
and we're all going to get this money, or I get this money. And then they all yell, and he's like, but wait, but we're all going to split it. And then they just start yelling, and he's like, but I want you to invest it back. Then they yell again. It is the weirdest scene in this movie, just how tonally bizarre the whole thing is.
Well, what happens next is even more abrupt in one way. Melba, what we decide to call
Merlin.
Her, decides... So it seems like maybe they are. Maybe they're deep down, they're all a bunch of good guys, even though they're a little crazy. They're all good guys, and they are going to invest in the cab company.
Adam Baldwin kind of convinces them. He's like, come on. He took a chance on you guys. Let's do this. It'll be great. And they all kind of say, all right, let's do this.
But then they find out that the wife took everything. Took all the money, took the house, won't let him back in the house now. Right. And is like, and she, because she watched something about this on the Today Show or something, he makes mention.
I don't know. It is so, she even says that she's like, I called the local news, I called the Today Show, I called the mayor. They're all coming down.
Because it's not right. The business is part hers, too, and she's got some stake in it. So now he's like, poor Harold. Now he's lost his wife and his money and his company and his house.
Sure.
And Albert's really feeling for him. And Albert, as it turns out, has $6,000 that his dead dad gave to him.
At this moment in the movie, I went, we didn't even need that violin thing. Like, we did not need
Albert it. Albert had it the whole time. Oh, but then this, how this connects then again to the kidnapping is a whole nother story. So,
God. Right? The kidnapping. There's a kidnapping in this movie.
Yeah.
And when I say kidnapping, I don't mean like members of DC Cab are kidnapped.
No.
Children in this movie that we've seen for a second throwing eggs at a nun are kidnapped.
And it's a worry. And they're kidnapped with one of our prime players.
Right.
He does convince them. Albert then convinces them, listen, I've got money and we could put my money together. And my money is, we'll redo DC Cab. It'll be so exciting. This is when Gary Busey does his weird Elvis dance and makes his announcement that he doesn't work on January 8th because it's Elvis.
I don't work on January 8th because it's Elvis's birth. And then he just dances. It just... dancing. Camera sits on him. Camera doesn't move. Camera doesn't cut away. He dances. No. He just, it's such a strange scene in this movie. In a movie full of strange scenes. He just hangs there. This is also Mr. T is wearing a pink and blue bodysuit at this moment.
Okay. Oh, man. So good. So good.
Everybody's in except Tyrone. Tyrone's done. He's out. He's had enough.
Yeah.
Again, this comes to nothing. But he's had enough. He puts his wig back on with the curlers.
He gets really is what gets everybody in trouble. He's decided to leave, and that's why Albert has to take his shift and drives the kids and gets kidnapped. And
I mean,
the whole
I kind of feel like this would have happened if Tyrone was there anyway. Like, I feel like this was planned to happen on that day. I don't know. Whatever. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
But anyway, let's cut to a montage of them cleaning this cab place up with the same song from the beginning of the movie.
Yep. They're getting new sign put on the building. Cleaning the cars, new paint on the cars, new jackets for themselves. They're doing a lot of jumping jacks, like at one time. Even Bill Maher, like they're all like in this like triangle doing jumping jacks.
If you ever want to watch Bill Maher do jumping jacks, watch DC Cab.
Busey gets a new stereo in his car.
and he blows out the windows. He just screams and yells for a while, and the windows blow out of this brand new cab.
And that's it.
He makes Albert
come in and listen to the new stereo. He's like, come here, listen. Blows out the windows, and it's like, that's all we got.
Roz starts walking around wearing a fur coat, which I thought was great.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, she gets what she deserves, too. Oh, Mr. T gets his specialty cab. This is when it comes full circle, because he gets a specialty, like, souped-up cab, and then he drives by the drug dealer with his fancy car, but people are now into Mr. T's fancy cab.
How did I miss this? I must have looked away at this point.
But it's great redemption, because they're like, oh. And Mr. T's now feels redemptive.
Albert comes in and asks permission to date the waitress, and he's finally wearing his yellow cab jacket that they all got.
And so official.
And he is given permission to date the waitress. Yay. Very exciting.
He already got his, because when he first gets his official license.
He got his license around the time that they're all yelling about the money.
Oh, because that's when he officially gets his license and he goes for his first ride. We've talked about how she is just shit in the back of the car.
They're just making out in a cab.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, just hot and heavy making out. That's why he became a cab driver, so he could make out.
This is also a strange scene because we cut back to DC cab and there's candles everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
There's just candles not just like, oh, we'll eat by candlelight in the office. That'll be nice. They're everywhere. And I don't understand why.
Maybe the electric went out at DC cab?
I don't know. Because somebody just shows up with Chinese food and that's the end of that scene.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And I wrote my notes at this point. Everything's great. How is there still 40 minutes left?
Yep. No, because there is. Because what happens next somehow is Busey goes to find Tyrone to be like, listen, everything is like going gravy here. You should come back. And Tyrone is selling souvenirs.
He's dressed like Uncle Sam.
But then Tyrone realizes that his favorite singer, Irene, is in town.
Irene
and he steals Busey's cab to go give her a ride.
And he jumps out and she gets in the cab and he's like, why are you here? And she's like, I'm singing at the White House.
White House, yeah.
So he's picking up this singer. Tyrone's picking up the singer.
So since he's left, I guess, Albert has been doing Tyrone's shifts, his regulars.
Right.
So the people that have to, the maid and the nanny that have to get dropped off at that egg tossing kid's house, that's Albert is left to do it. And when Albert does it, there's like a shootout. It gets so crazy.
So this
right?
nun, again, he pulls up, the nun is there again. The nun who got eggs thrown at her before. She has a camera in her hands.
Oh, yeah.
The kids run out. The gate opens. The kids run out. The nuns come out. Yeah. Two other men jump out of a van.
Uh-huh.
They grab these kids and they throw the kids in the van. And then I think the nun or somebody jumps in the cab and takes Albert hostage too.
Yes.
Yeah, because the cab is taken. So Albert and these two kids who we don't know and don't care about and have no connection to have been kidnapped for some reason.
Yes.
I mean, the kids are rich because they're just trying
to... Yeah, I'm assuming it's because they're rich and they want the ransom money. Because the kids, when they're kidnapped, are like, yeah, this happens all the time. Yeah, we're not too worried about it. Like, we get kidnapped all the time. So I feel like that this is because they're, like, wealthy kids. They get held for ransom.
All the time. All the time.
But
it just happened.
There's been some sort of turnaround where the guy from the city, from the cab, the guy is back, and they need to close down DC cab because there's an investigation going on.
Yes. They think Albert got the money that he used from, I guess, abducting children in his spare time and holding them for ransom.
Where'd you get the new cars? Where'd you get the money for all this upgrade that you did? And they're like, well, when Albert came, Albert brought money. And they're like, oh, and then the children went missing.
And,
uh-huh.
Yeah, right. And even the guy who owns DC Cab, Harold, even the cops are like, where'd you get this money? He's like, Albert gave it to me.
Yeah, like, yeah. Even though, he's like questioning.
And Albert explicitly said, this is money I got when my dad died. Like, that's easy enough for him uh-huh. to tell them and easy enough for them to look into and uh-huh. to find out that he is not part of this kidnapping plot.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
But none of that happens. The cops no. think he's in on it.
Yeah, so they close down. So now the cabbies, the DC cabs, don't have access to their cabs.
Right. Roz leaves also. She leaves for the green team.
Yeah, she's had enough. So it's her time to go. She's a single mom. She has to feed her kid.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but Tyrone comes in.
With a suit.
With a suit. He doesn't look like Tyrone. Not wearing his wig. Nope. Nobody says a word. Nobody cares.
Nope.
He's wearing a suit. He comes in, he probably says, I met Reagan. He sounded like Marilyn Monroe. It was weird. But he has a plan. He says, I have a plan.
Right.
And their first part of their plan involves stealing cabs from the green cab company.
Because they need automobiles. They need some sort of car to get themselves. So do they know yet that where Harold is, right? Do they?
No, because, no, it's
or where
Albert is. But... For Albert. Some reason, at one point, they're like, I know who kidnapped these kids. And I'm like, how do you know? Who knows? What's happening? Because then they go shake down some girl in an apartment.
Oh, that's right. They go to the apartment. And then they go to the... Oh, because a couple of people were injured, but not kidnapped.
The nanny, maids, yeah.
The maid was injured but not kidnapped, and so she's in the hospital. And Busey and Paul Rodriguez and who
and
else?
Tyrone.
Tyrone all go and pretend to be lawyers.
I want a whole movie of them pretending to be lawyers because this scene was over in 20 seconds, and I went, I want more. Like, I need something more with this.
And that nanny, she's their nanny, I think, because all she keeps saying yeah. is, I got to get my babies back. I got to make sure those babies are okay.
But that doesn't come to any, none of this comes to
anything.
No, I
don't even know why they go see them because... P.S. Now we have another sidebar where Harold goes back to his house and realizes that his wife is cheating on him with this guy named Ernesto. And then
Ernesto's the guy. Ernesto's the president of the
association. That's who that is. Yes.
Yes.
And he pushes him in a pool and gets his flamethrower thing out at him. Which, P.S., we forgot to mention that earlier when she takes the house and takes all their money, she threatens them all with a flamethrower, too. Like this flamethrower.
She tries to throw mm-hmm. flames at all of them.
Yes.
She almost lights that porch roof on fire. Did you see that scene? I was like, this
could
gone
be really,
really
dangerous. Yeah. Yes. I don't know about the flamethrowers in homes, but
this is I got such a genuine laugh out of this scene where Albert is struggling to get
out of his...
The kids are tied up. Albert's tied up. He's blindfolded.
Yeah.
And he finally, like, he's struggling. He's falling over. And the whole time he's like, kids, don't worry. I'll get us out of here. And he finally breaks out. And he looks over and the kids are standing there all on time. They're like, yay, Albert, you did it. I genuinely really laughed out loud when I was watching that.
But he only gets free enough to go and make a walkie-talkie cabbie call. Right?
Yeah, on his radio in his cab.
And nobody answers except that Mr. Rhythm guy. And he tells Mr. Rhythm where he is, but he can't tell much because he's got to go back and check on the kids. And he tells him Bruce Lee. He's by an airport, and there's houses.
South of the airport, he's in a barn, there's mm-hmm. a windmill... And Bruce Lee.
Mm-hmm.
So Grady, Mr. Rhythm, you know, steals a cab or whatever, gets in the cab that he's been sleeping in and drives it around and finds the rest of the group, the rest of DC Cab.
Yeah.
And this is when he relays all this information about a farm and windmills. And everybody's like, Mr. T's like, there's 87 farms around here and 42 of them have windmills or whatever.
Yeah.
And he tells them Bruce Lee and... This is when we get another great line of dialogue from Gary Busey.
Oh, what does Busey say?
Where he's like, Bruce Lee's not there.
Oh, yeah, that
he's
is
frozen.
Right.
They froze him and they put him underground and they're going to bring him up. They're going to thaw him out once the economy's better.
That's right. It's crazy. I do hope, now that I'm thinking about it in retrospect, I hope that all these lines were just like Busey formed out of the blue and people were like, what the fuck?
Because this also gets no reaction from anybody. Like, nobody tells him to shut up in other scenes.
They're like, he's just going to show up every day to set and say what he says, and it'll just be in the movie.
You know what? Actually, this is, after he says all this, after he says that nonsense, this is a very bizarre impassioned speech by Mr. T. Oh, yeah,
in front of the Lincoln Memorial.
And then he turns around and salutes the Lincoln statue.
He does this whole speech about pride and dignity and self-respect. And
it is amazing because they all split up into groups. Yeah. Mr. T and the bodybuilders.
Yeah.
But they find a farm and
the mailbox. Bruce Lee, L-E-I-G-H. They're like, oh, well, here we go.
I love that a farmer in rural Washington, D.C. is named Bruce Lee.
Bruce Lee, yeah.
And they jump through the windows while these people are eating dinner.
The people are in their kitchen and there's like three, like a frame of three windows around them. Yeah. And the three men just jump on in and realize it's just a simple family having, nobody's kidnapped anybody here. So they're like, sorry, and they leave. But
the best thing about this scene, I had to rewind it and just watch it again because the lack of reaction from this entire family is so great. Nobody is startled. Nobody even turns around as three enormous monsters fly through their windows.
It must happen often. They are the Lees, after all, the Bruce Lees. This was clever. They make their cabs all look like police cars.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Somehow. Somehow they do this. I don't know how, but they do.
They find, there's a Bruce Lee movie playing on the screen.
Yes.
Is that, that leads them to, it's not Bruce Lee the house, it's Bruce Lee the movie that's playing on the big screen near these houses.
Bruce Lee the house. I'm going to name my house Bruce Lee. Some people name their cars. I'm going to be like, this is my house.
Welcome to Bruce Lee. Weirdo.
They finally figure out where he is.
Yeah.
The bad guys are there. Everybody's held at gunpoint.
Yeah.
As you said, they line up the cabs. They pretend that they're police. They have a bullhorn.
Yes.
And he's yelling stuff like, this is the police. And Gary Busey goes, now tell him you're Batman. The kids are saved by Mr. T.
Yeah.
Because he jumps in wearing all primary colors. It's great.
The brightest of them.
And he rescues the kids.
Yes.
But they still have Albert. They still throw Albert into the van, and the bad guys drive away with Albert. And then it's a lengthy chase scene, like a very long chase scene that we did not need in this movie.
No, where they're, why are they hitting the, so they get him in the van, and now, of course, they all have their caps, so they chase after him. And they're hitting the van with baseball bats?
Just hitting it with baseball. Everybody's just swinging their arms out with baseball bats, hitting the van. People are trying to ram each other. It's a whole
weird
thing.
Yeah, they're rear-ending him. And finally, they pull Albert out of the van. He leaves behind his cowboy boots, which belong to his pappy. But that's okay, because at least he's free.
Because he's not dead.
Right? And everyone is so happy and so excited, and the kids are returned. And then... we get the longest parade ever.
Why? There is a parade for DC Cab.
It's just for DC
the
Cab.
Company.
It's just for them.
It's just for DC Cab.
Because they're
all
back in action.
Sitting on the roofs of their cabs, waving. The end credits are as long
as
they're
forever.
The
they're forever. I got up. I was cleaning up my stuff. I'm like, this movie's over. My husband's like, it's still going.
It's still going. Because then they get to, like, I don't know, City Hall. They're given a key to the city or something.
Yeah.
They run up these steps. It goes
on forever.
Ever.
And it's like, wow, they got a parade for just being a cab. Wow.
Not just being a... First of all, they saved those children. I don't think it was just for being
a cab
company.
Yeah, but according to the children, they get kidnapped all the time. Is there a parade every time they're returned?
Mommy, we got to throw another one of these... I can't
don't
even do it.
I
can't even
don't
pretend
do
now
don't.
To do a terrible Reagan
it's
impression.
So bad. I really like your accents. I don't like that one. It makes me uncomfortable. No.
Okay, all right. I'm done. Is it how close I get to the microphone?
It's all of it. Probably, I mean, if people probably saw your whole positioning and kind of what happens to your face, too, yeah, look.
You say, yeah, look, as though I can look at myself. Well, I'm not putting up my end of Skype just to watch that. Yeah, so that's how DC Cab
with
ends.
A parade, with a brilliant parade. Oh, my God. You can't tell me that you didn't enjoy this, did you?
They do have to. I mean, it probably is something where, like, do you know that the same company that found that $1 million violin just saved a bunch of kids?
Yeah.
Like, maybe we should throw them a parade.
Oh, maybe.
I enjoyed this. This is an oddity that I think needs to be seen by people. This is a weird movie.
Great. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. It's a perfect movie for our podcasting purposes, too. So well done on the recommendation, I'd have to say, as far as to have us watch it. And having had watch it, again, as a child of the 80s, as a little, what was I, five? Was I five in 1983?
I don't know when you were born. Sure.
I was a young child. Yeah, I would not have seen this then. And I'm glad I didn't see it then. But boy, am I glad to have seen it now. It's a good movie.
Right.
Fun movie.
No, definitely.
Wild. I wish it was a little bit shorter. Like, there, you just get a little carried away. But then you almost need it. You need the extra kidnapping to be like, where, what happens now? That would be my only complaint, is I was like, all this crazy, I could do it.
Strangely enough, though, I think that this movie is one where when I was watching it the first time, that was irritating. Yeah. But I almost feel like if I watched it again with somebody, I'd be like, oh, just wait till
the kidnapping. Yeah,
just like wait till you see what's going to happen next.
That's true. What do you recommend? Right.
So what do you... My recommendation is a movie called Night on Earth. It's a movie by Jim Jarmusch, and it is about cab drivers.
Excellent.
It's like five different stories. Cab drivers in L.A. and New York and Paris. I'm doing this off the top of my head. And Rome. And I think the other one is Helsinki.
Ooh.
I could be wrong there, but I'm just saying city
names.
It's good. Like, it's not a movie of his that I really love. But if you like movies of, you know, one or two characters just talking for basically a half hour at a time.
Then
if you like his other movie, Coffee and Cigarettes, like, if you like that, this is very similar to that. So that's my recommendation, because I wanted to do another cab film, but there aren't a whole lot of
It's crazy. This was a weird movie to, not weird, but this was a hard movie to grab a recommendation of it. I think because I enjoyed it so much, I was like, well, what am I going to recommend that's anything like this? And
right.
I did.
You can't.
I know.
And
I
just maybe a severe blow to the head.
I did go through the list, and because there is a large list of actors, and I couldn't find anything that resonated, I guess. But then I thought about the show that I'm watching now on its last season. Have you watched Broad City, Comedy Central's?
Oh my God.
So they're so fun and so crazy and so silly. And so, I mean, it's not quite Mr. T and Gary Busey's pairing, but they're a great little pair. No. And it's a fun show. And it's the last season. And so far, the last season's pretty fun as well.
That is a show that I may have seen like five episodes of. And I loved it. But I just haven't watched it. I think it's one of those shows where once it's done,
you'll dive in.
Yeah, like over the summer, I'll probably just watch the whole thing. Because anytime I've seen it, it's great, but it's nothing that I think of.
Yeah, you know? No, it'll be a great binge when you're ready. So yeah, go on. There you have it. All right. So
again, Christian, thank you so much. That was
many things.
That was just a joy and, you know, all this stuff.
It was a really good time, Christian. It was like a chocolate cake. You know, you have a chocolate cake and you know it's going to be good, but then inside the chocolate cake is some kind of like molten lava thing that's really warm, not hot lava, like chocolate lava that's tasty. And
so okay, good. I'm glad you're not saying it burned your insides until you exploded
in
flames.
No, like a chocolate lava cake. I think that's such a thing.
Sure.
It's delicious. And you, like I said, you think it's just going to be a yummy chocolate cake, and then you go in and it's really nice.
2 weeks from now, we're going to go from a movie that did not really feature women at all to a movie that is pretty much all women, because March is like National Women's Month. That's not right. I'm not saying it right. It's something. it's something. I should have written that down, right?
That's all
right. But we are going to do a movie called Modern Girls.
Ooh. Modern Girls.
That's right. So that will be 2 weeks from today. And just to remind everyone, we are coming up on our 100th
episode. 100 episodes. Yowzas. Yes.
So between Modern Girls and our 100th episode, we will be releasing a very special bonus episode where we take questions that you guys asked us and we answer those questions. And
we produce answers. Yes, correct.
We will produce several answers to those questions. Yeah, so be on the lookout for that. But in the meantime, watch Modern Girls.
Check it out.
And we will talk about it 2 weeks from now. Is there anything else?
No.
Are we done?
Do we have to collect, like, you know, for schools, kids' schools, they do, like, the 100 days. Like, are we going to dress like two old people? And are you going to have, like, 100 Cheerios and 100 staples in a bag?
Did I ever tell you that my, oh, man, now I don't even, this is the problem with having several children are all girls. I don't know which daughter it was. I think it was Jocelyn. I think it was my oldest. She, for school once, had to draw a picture of what, it was the 100 day of school thing, a picture of what they would look like when they were 100.
Okay.
She drew a headstone.
Oh my God. I could totally see her doing that.
It was really great. She's like, done. Like, there were flowers around it and her name was written on it. And I was like, this is morbid, but super funny. And she was only in like second grade. I was like, that's pretty great.
I'm going to bet that it was Jocelyn. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure. So
that's awesome.
Anyway, everyone, we will see you in 2 weeks. Watch Modern Girls. Watch DC Cab again.
Yeah, watch
it. Just watch it again.
Just do it.
Just for fun. Have a good time. All right, everybody. We will talk to you in a couple weeks. Bye for now. Oh, do all the things that we always ask you to do.
Oh, yeah.
Go to our Patreon. Go find us on Facebook. Leave reviews for us on iTunes.
We love it.
We haven't asked for that in a long time, but we love them. Please do so. That's it. Okay. Bye, everybody.
Thanks. Bye.
On the street, under pressure, the city ain't just meat. Making a stand against the odds, you can feel the heat. It's making or breaking, try to survive. Gotta reach for the sky. If you want it, fight for it. I'll kiss it goodbye. It's make it or break it.
Oh shit. Mammy, I love that girl who is in Fame.
Oh my God,
think
is that
she
your
might
Ronald
come
Reagan?
And sing.
Is that
the
your Ronald Reagan?
Do you
Reagan?
Think she? Yeah, this is my Ronald Reagan. This is as good as it's gonna get. Sorry.
Wait, keep going.
Do you think she's a Republican? I mean, Reagan fever is sweeping the nation. Do you think they would?
Oh my God, that's very creepy.